WPHM. And now, more Paul Miller on Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, it is Tuesday morning. Numbers can tell amazing stories. And last month, the FBI released its figures for reported hate crimes in the United States for 2016. And the state of Michigan ranked fourth in the nation with 399 hate crimes, even though the state population comes in at number nine. A lot of these are our anti-Muslim acts, and joining us right now is the director of research for an organization called the Institute for Social and Policy Understanding with its new study on Muslims in Michigan, Dalia Mohagad. Could you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
Mohagad.
I'm sorry. I had it in my mind.
Okay.
It just wasn't working. Dalia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
These are startling numbers when you look at the number of hate crimes. Are a lot of these anti-Islamic?
So many of them are, and anti-Muslim hate crimes are the most likely to have risen. So they are the fastest growing, unfortunately. I think it's important to take a step back and realize that the rhetoric that we hear is hurting really every American. And one example is the rise in hate crimes, not only against Muslims, but against other groups. When the rhetoric has become so toxic, many, many people are hurt by it.
Tell us a little bit about the study that you undertook to help us better understand the role of Muslims here in Michigan.
Sure. You know, with Muslims at such a central point in our policy discussions, you know, and at the same time, the majority of Americans saying they don't know very much about the community, we felt that it was a civic duty to do research and to educate the public on this community so that the public could make better decisions and understand policy and our national discourse in a more educated way. So we set out to quantify American Muslim contributions to American progress. And we used the state of Michigan as a case study. So we looked at the impact of American Muslims on the fields of medicine, technology, philanthropy, business, and many others. And what we found was really surprising.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, Muslims make up about 1% of the entire U.S. population. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And they make up less than 3% of the population of Michigan.
What were some of the things that you found in your study?
Well, first, we found that despite making up about 2.75% of the population of Michigan, Muslims are 15% of Michigan's doctors. So a huge contribution to the medical field. We found that Muslim entrepreneurs create more than 100,000 jobs for Michiganders, that they contribute $5.5 billion to the Michigan economy, that without Muslims, Michigan would have lost 1,400 new patents. So the study really points to what I think all Americans understand is that every single American is contributing to American progress, and we are all stronger when we work together.
And I mean, obviously, we're communicating that right now. But how do you communicate that to a larger, broader audience? How do you take this information and help other Michiganians understand it?
We've been doing a lot of outreach. We've been traveling all over the state, doing presentations at the invitation of different civic and community groups. We created a video that has been distributed all over social media that you can find at MuslimsForAmericanProgress.com. And we're also going to be partnering with the World Affairs Council to take this information not only in Michigan, but all over the country.
Are you hopeful that by doing that, you will see the number of hate crimes reduced?
Well, we're hopeful hopeful that what we will find is a more educated citizenry. And when we have that, we have a stronger democracy. And one outcome of that is everyone is safer, including Muslims from hate crimes. But I think it's important to understand that oftentimes we think of Islamophobia or anti-Muslim bigotry as only hurting Muslims. And what we've found in our research is that that's not the case. It actually hurts every American. First, because it causes some fringe elements to carry out acts of violence, not only against Muslims, but against people of other faith and ethnic backgrounds. But it also hurts other religious groups. Here's the strange thing about bigotry is it doesn't discriminate. It actually spreads. So there is a link between anti-Muslim and anti-Jewish sentiment, for example. Anti-Semitism is something that grows with anti-Muslim bigotry, and they're empirically linked. According to one study, if you happen to be anti-Jewish, you're 32 times as likely to be anti-Muslim. So it doesn't stop at Muslims, and it doesn't even stop at Jewish Americans. Our research also shows there's an overlap between anti-Muslim bigotry, anti-Black, and anti-Latino bigotry, and so forth.
I guess that's the population that you have to try and reach are the people that hold those feelings because it's probably easier to reach people that already are sympathetic to your cause, but people that are already naturally likely to if not carry out hate crimes, at least be bigoted against certain groups. It's harder to reach them, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But I think there's a great deal of value in reaching people who are already receptive, because we're giving them, we're empowering them with accurate information that they can then take to folks who they know who might be misinformed. Those people may not be reachable by an organization like ISPU, but they would be reachable by a family member or friend. So I see a great deal of value in reaching what is often called preaching to the choir. You know, the choir needs to practice and the choir needs information. And I guarantee that members of the choir have family members, Facebook friends that are not in the choir, and they can reach them by becoming ambassadors for the facts.
Social media can be a powerful tool for good and against good, can't it?
Yes, absolutely. But you're right. It is a powerful potential tool for the good. And I really encourage everyone who cares about keeping our country free and democratic, not allowing our citizens to be manipulated by fear, to use good information to educate the folks that they know.
Dahlia, where can people go for more information?
Well, they can go to the website for this specific project. It's called Muslims for American Progress, all one word, .com, muslimsforamericanprogress.com, or they can go to the website of our organization that conducted the research, and that's ispu.org, Institute for Social Policy and Understanding. It's just the acronym ispu.org.
All right. We will check it out. Dahlia Mogahed, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye now.